it 2-1.
What up?
And when I'm on the mic, the suckers run.
Word.
Welcome to 3-2-1, live from my garage in Old Town Orange. Not really live because it's a podcast and you're going to listen to it whenever I post it, but there it is. I'm here today with a good friend of mine, John Holzer. Say hi, John.
Hello, John.
No, John, that's not... Well, I mean...
Hello, David. How
not
are
the
you?
Literal. I mean, the literal thing is kind of, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's an old shitty joke. Oh, did I say shit?
You did.
Fuck. Oh,
you did.
Damn it.
You did. Now I have to check the explicit box, but I'm okay with that, actually. I think that's going to be, that's actually going to be a good thing because I talk like a sailor, so.
Okay, well, yeah. So do I.
So follow us on social media at 321 Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, at DG After Dark on Twitter and Instagram for my personal stuff, and livingminimal.com is the blog, and John will tell you all about his stuff in a moment. But first, thank you for subscribing and listening. This is the first episode, and after a long time thinking about it and getting technical things out of the way, we are here. So
yeah, this was a horrible day.
Why was it
horrible? The first half, just because everything was like going wrong with my board and the board that I brought over for you.
Your board of directors?
No, my old mixing board. Yeah. It just wasn't working out, and it was frustrating me. Not you weren't. The situation itself was.
You know, there was a time when we went to your house and homebrewed, and I knew I frustrated you, and I felt really bad about it, actually, for like a long time.
No, it's like that with everybody, because what you're talking about is you'll come over, and you want to talk and ask questions and stuff.
Yeah.
But my mind is preoccupied with focusing on brewing the beer and making sure I'm hitting all my steps. And so I want to be accommodating and talk to you and explain things. Like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
But then I get frustrated because I'm ignoring the steps in the home brewing process.
See,
and stuff gets messed up. So it's not your fault.
Yeah.
I should have just said, hang on a second, I got to do this real quick.
So this is interesting because we'll get into this in a little bit because one of the three topics today on 3-2-1 is about friends and kind of how we relate to our friends and how our friends do things that we don't like and things like that. And, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, though, because I remember that day really clearly. And I had a sense that you were like a guy on a mission, right? So you wanted to get the beer done. You wanted to get, it was getting late. It was getting dark.
There's only so much daytime.
Right, right. And there's a shitload of cleanup that has to happen after you brew beer, and there's everything else.
And honestly, that's the worst part. And that's your goal, is to work hard. Like, the stuff, brewing and stuff is easy. The process is easy. But then it's like, oh, I'm all done. No, you have to clean everything now.
Yeah.
And you're tired. You may have been drinking. You're hot. You're sweaty. You know, it's not like you can brew. Well, you can brew inside, but it still gets just as hot inside.
See, but don't you look at it? See, I look at things like that as being somewhat of a social affair. You don't?
No, I agree. And I invite people over every time I brew. I don't have a problem with it, but it does wear on you and it's not just you. It's happened with other people where it's like, well, what about this? What about this?
Yeah.
And then I just get flustered and it seems like I'm like getting angry at you. And that's not what it is. It's just that I've got so much going on. And then when things go wrong in the brew, like if my sparge is stuck or something, I'm really frustrated, and then people are like, whoa, he's mad. It's like, no, I'm not mad. I'm just frustrated because this is happening now. Just everyone calm down.
Yeah.
But that's also my personality coming into it, too.
Well, I was about to ask you about that because, like, right now you're almost, I don't want to say you're getting intense, but you obviously have, like.
I'm starting to sweat.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's a warm day.
Well, but it's.
You're a warm guy.
I get worked up talking about things. It just happens.
You do. And the part that's interesting for me is, like, you're talking about all that, and the whole time I'm thinking, All it would take is an explanation, John. All you'd have to do is say, hey, guys, I just want to get this done. Let's just get focused on finishing this.
No, but then it gets awkward, and everyone's
I think it does.
Oh, I'll be quiet now. Like, I can't. Okay. Then everyone's going to watch I don't want to bother him.
No.
Because that's how I am already. It's like I have that certain air where it's like, okay, I don't want to piss this guy off.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm sociable. So.
Yeah. No, you are, and that's what I appreciate about you. But, I mean, I think it's almost, and I don't know, maybe this is just part of my like professional side for what I do at work coming into play, but you kind of have to communicate clearly and manage the situation too, right? So it's hey guys, like, we have 30 minutes of sunlight left, we probably have 2 hours of work left to do with the cleaning, let's try to just get it going, that way we can just hang after this, right?
No, yeah, it's if people are there to explicitly help you out,
yeah,
then of course that, you know, then you say this is what we got to do. I think I did that with you.
Well,
I
kind
think
of
once does it. Maybe you came over again to brew the mom brew.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, clean this, do this, do this.
Yeah.
And it wasn't awkward because you were there to work. But when you're there visiting, it's a different story. It's not like, okay, be quiet for a second. Let me do my job. Well, then everyone's going to be like, okay, should I just go home? Like, I don't know. I don't want you to go home. But anyway, I think we're dwelling too much on this.
That's okay. We'll talk more about like relationships with our friends in a little bit. So, John, tell me a little bit about yourself. You are from Moreno Valley. Is that correct? Were you born and raised in the Inland Empire?
I was born in San Dimas, so I don't think that's the Inland Empire, is it?
I
don't think so.
I almost feel like that area of L.A. County, because that is, I believe that's still L.A. County.
It's L.A. County.
Or is it Riverside County? I don't even know.
I would say, it's not, I don't know, it might be San Bernardino County, if anything. But
my good friend Peter's here in the background, and I think he's pointing at John to say John is correct about where it is.
So it's Los Angeles County.
No, he's
San Bernardino County.
Yeah, San Bernardino County. Yeah.
So I guess, yes, I was born in the IE. San Dimas, I lived in West Covina until I was 6. We then moved out to Fontana, me and my parents. My brother was born in 85 when we moved out to West Covina.
What year were you born?
It wasn't 80. He was born in 85 when we moved to Fontana.
What year were you born?
79.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize you're so close to me in age, actually.
Yeah, 36.
And I'm 39. For some reason, I always think you're younger.
Yeah, well, thank you.
It's nice, right? It's nice when people
I don't feel
that.
Younger. I don't think I look younger. I think I have creepy looking hair. I look kind of, I don't know.
I got called.
I could look better.
Yesterday, I was on the radio to talk about my work. So my work is in homeless issues and domestic violence and things like that. And I got called one of the young and upcoming people in Orange County on working on these issues. And I thought to myself, well, that's very complimentary. I don't know if you guys know that I'll be 40 next year if you're thinking that, but you know, maybe that's either a commentary on how old everybody else is maybe, or I don't know, something. But
yeah, I don't know. I think people today look younger than they did back in the day.
Why is that?
I don't know. Because they looked older to me when I was younger.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just a matter of perspective. I don't know.
My favorite movie of all time is You've Got Mail.
No, it's not.
It is.
All right. Well, this was fun, but no. Why is that your favorite movie?
Are you not a Tom Hanks and
Meg Ryan
rom-com fan?
No, not that movie. So I mean, I watched it and it's entertaining and stuff, but it's not my favorite movie. No.
It's my favorite movie of all time.
Why is that?
I don't know. I saw it. It came out in 99 and I saw it in theaters. And yeah, I probably watched it, I don't know, 200 times.
200 times?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Easily.
I don't think I've watched anything 200 times.
Star Wars?
No, maybe Superman 1.
Oh, God,
like with
really?
Christopher Reeve. Oh, yeah, that was weird. My favorite movie when I was a kid.
Oh, that's weird.
But yeah, I don't even think that. No, that's just, that's almost obsessive.
No, I love it. I have this, like, all versions of the soundtrack saved. I listen to it regularly. Yeah.
The soundtrack, too.
Yeah, like the soundtrack and then the orchestrated shit, the set, the, you know, the actual film created music.
Right. The,
what do they call it? Struggling here.
Yeah,
with
I can't think of it either.
Score. Thank you. Peter just chimed in with score. Yes, the original film score. I love that movie. And I mean, it's just one of those things. But anyways, my point is that there's this scene where there's a woman talking about Ethel Rosenberg and saying, you know, one of the things I always found so fascinating is how old they looked when they were really just our age. And I always hear that and I think to myself, that's just the weirdest thing to notice about somebody's picture is, you know, they're my age, but God, look how much older they look. You know, I don't know. I just always find that as such a strange commentary about people to be thinking like how old or young somebody
like you
looks
wanna,
relative
you
to their
think,
age.
You want to think you look younger than people that are
No, I just don't
age.
Care. I always find it fascinating that people give a shit about it. Because, I mean, you can't stop aging.
No.
You can try. But you can't contain it. I mean, it's going to happen. I just think it's a weird thing that people think about. I don't, because I never do.
Yeah, I don't really. No,
you just.
I think I'm the same person I was 10 years ago.
Really?
Except I'm smarter about certain things. I'm more tolerant about certain things.
What are you smarter about?
I think social issues. I have more life skills. Like I'm better at my job.
What is your job, by the way?
I fix elevators for a living.
Talk about that.
No.
Yes.
What do you want to know?
Tell me about what, I mean, there's more, no one's job is just the 3-word thing or 4-word thing or whatever they say it is. There's more to it than that. So what do you do?
It's pretty much my job. I fix elevators, modernize them. I'm involved in my union quite a bit. My dad was a business rep in our union for 17 or 18 years. He just retired from that. I got in when I was 19, I believe.
So you come from union stock. Yeah.
Yeah. My grandpa was, my father's dad was, a truck driver with the Teamsters And my dad was a glazier when he first got out of the Navy. I think that was a union shop. And then he got a job in the elevator trade because he fixed elevators on his boat in the Navy.
So what is it like in 2015 to be so heavily active in a union?
Well, a lot of people look down on unions. That's pretty obvious, at least what you see on TV. Unions are kind of thought of as being money-grubbing, scandalous. There's evil union bosses that are out there to steal money from their workers by collecting dues illegally, taking it out of their paychecks without their permission. If you want to work, you got to join the union, which is true to a certain extent. But people miss the whole point of a union in that it's for the members of that union to have a concerted voice, to have one voice. And if they want something, they have the power to get together and make change happen.
Yeah.
And the problem with unions today is people, even members of unions, I think, they feel like they're still out for themselves. And it's like, yeah, I'm a member of a union, but I could get fired tomorrow. So, you know, just because this guy's rocking the boat and trying to follow the rules, I'm going to do my own thing because I don't want to piss the boss off and I want to keep my job kind
of
thing.
How much of that stuff is real and how much of it's perceived?
It's all very real. I deal with it all the time.
Really?
And my shop isn't, it's a great shop to work out of. I'm not going to say specifically where I work. If you know me, you know where I work. It's an office that a lot of people would like to work out of, and relative to other offices in the Southern California area, it's one of the best. Like, they're pretty tolerant on dealing with my BS with the union. I can say whatever I want and they kind of just go with it and they're like, okay. But you know, I back my stuff up, yeah. And I have a book of, I have my, my collective bargaining agreement that says what I'm entitled to.
Right.
And
you know, I would stop you on it. You know, what's interesting is I was listening to, I think it was a Slate podcast. I think it was, the Political Gab Fest on this week, and Jamil Bowie was on it. He was saying they were talking about the Amazon thing, right? With all the, you know, the article in the New York Times and everything.
With the email executives and everyone's overworked.
And you can backstab anybody at any time, anonymously, which is pretty scary to think about. But one of the interesting things he said was that the first thing he thought when he read that was that those people needed a union. That they actually needed collective bargaining, that they actually needed a representative, a voice to say that these working conditions are not acceptable. And I found that interesting that was the first time I've ever heard the idea of a union being applied to a white collar.
Walmart. Are you kidding me that they've been trying to unionize, or the workers at Walmart have been trying?
I would not call Walmart a white collar working environment.
Oh, you're talking about the white collar part of Amazon.
Right. And that's the crazy thing. I mean, obviously we know about the warehouse. I mean, if you don't know, the warehouse conditions for Amazon workers are pretty terrible. And there was that whole story about not having air conditioning and people almost dying and going to the hospital.
Yeah. You know, and I think a lot of that stuff is a little blown out of proportion. I'm sure there are isolated incidences of that happening. Jason on my podcast, Jason Harris, he works for Amazon. Yeah. And he works on the blue collar side and the fulfillment side of it. And every time an article like this comes out, he's like, well, this is what I see. And he's always like, there's certain parts of it that are true. He goes, but I just go to work and it's not bad at all. And I mean, he's doing pretty well at Amazon for what he's doing. So I think, but yes, having a white collar part of a company organize, I doubt you'll ever see that. They're executives. Yeah. It's almost an oxymoron.
It's interesting.
Executives in a union.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I don't want to make gross generalizations, but the people who would be going and working at a place like Amazon in a white collar situation as upper management, you know, creative, intelligent, business minded folks, you know, that demographic cuts against unions quite a bit.
I mean, it's management and labor. Right. That's what I mean. Unions represent the labor and management is management.
Yeah.
And I'm not if they wanted to try to form some kind of union, I don't know how that would work because your management and your executives, but that's a whole other part of it. Totally. I don't know about.
John, tell me about how we know each other. Do you remember how we met?
How did, through New Brew Thursday?
And yeah,
the whole,
but there was something
fanboyish
stuff. Oh, fanboyish stuff. Oh, yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
What was the specific thing?
I almost don't want to bring it up now because I'm a little hurt you just called me fanboy.
What do you want to talk about now?
Well, all right, I will. I will remind you, just because I think it's important that we clear the air on this. There was not a fanboy thing necessarily, but I had gone to the Bay Area to see my brother graduate from Berkeley. and I had picked up two cases of the Alpine City Beer Store Collaboration IPA.
Oh, that's right.
And I wanted you to have one to do on the show because I thought it was a special beer, and I did love the show. So the original
and
show.
And I met you at the place you worked
Orange
at.
Orange County United Way.
Yeah, United Way.
Yeah, I was standing out front. You pulled up, exchanged beer.
I was not driving my work truck either.
You were not?
I never carry beer in my work truck.
Smart move.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about your history as a podcaster and stuff, because I have been a fan of your work in podcasting for a long time. So
thank you. I started dabbling with podcasting when I was in my band, Better Luck Next Time, which I left them in 2010. But when I was doing that, I got an Apple TV and I saw that there was a podcast section and people were making video podcasts. And I thought, you know, it'd be really cool if we could like podcast our practice sessions and put them up there. Cause I'd want to see bands practice. Like that seems pretty cool. Cause you don't know what happens when bands practice. Do they just play songs, you know, song after song? Do they stop and talk? Are they?
It's the most boring fucking thing in the
world. Well, I lived it. It's not that
boring.
Well,
I've been in bands and it's like, we're in this hot, stuffy room with no windows.
It's much like this, except you're playing an instrument.
And there's no wild parrots in the background.
Sometimes.
Your band had wild parrots in the background?
No, it was a Burbank.
Did they have a dog like Ezra?
Parrots. Oh, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris had a dog. I forgot the dog's name.
Yeah.
It's a golden retriever. Pretty nice dog.
Yeah. For all those listening at home, the background noises you hear are wild parrots today in Old Town Orange. And
I just discovered this. Like, we were at some school, I think in West Covina, and they kind of go over there, too.
Really?
And it was just this cackling, and my helper was, or my apprentice, my assistant, whatever he is at this point, was with me, and I'm like, what the hell was that? He's like, oh, those are the wild
parrots.
Are you
Houdini? Are you like Houdini, and you have like assistants and apprentices?
Well, at first they were called helpers, and then
was this a union thing where they changed the names?
No, it was just a schooling program. Okay. And then when they started going to school under the state program, they were apprentices, and then there's this weird deal where mechanics who pass the test can now go back to being helpers, but they're not helpers and they're not apprentices, and now they're assistant mechanics.
Okay. All right. So anyway, you heard Wild Parrots. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then I discovered them 2 weeks ago.
So Labor Day is coming, and Labor Day marks kind of the entrance of the Wild Parrots. I mean, they're a little early, but there's a walnut tree above my house, and they sit there and chew the walnuts up and drop them on my house. And what I would do previous to having kids and everything else is I would make my coffee and sit on my porch and listen to walnuts hit the roof all morning, every morning in the fall. Yeah. It was nice.
Sounds like fun.
It was.
Nice and relaxing.
That's the way I like life.
Me too. Anyway, carrying on just to finish up the podcast thing. So
please.
That didn't go anywhere. I started a podcast called Twitter A Day, which was me reading my tweets in front of a video camera and explaining them.
I had no idea that existed.
This was when Twitter was pretty new. I think it was 2007. And I thought it was an interesting idea, but who wants to hear explanations of my tweets? It's like, maybe you should just write an interesting tweet. Like, so, and then I started watching New Brew Thursday when New Brew Thursday started in 2008, I want to say, when Steven Johnson was doing it with two of his friends. That stopped. He got a hold of me through another guy on Twitter, and then I kind of bought a bunch of video equipment and started recording episodes of New Brew Thursday, and we went all over the country to different breweries and stuff, did some stuff in Japan. That ended, 2014?
Yeah.
And then I started Four Brewers, which is a podcast with myself, Matt Pecker from the brewery, Jason Harris, who is a beer geek, I guess, overall, general, and then Greg Nagel from the OC Beer Blog. So
I have been on both shows.
Yes.
And I really still to this day... Oh, Ezra's barking.
There's actually a dog in here.
Yeah, there's actually a dog in here hanging out. Oh my gosh, we have guests.
As you wave them out.
Yeah, so John, you'll have to edit that part out if you don't mind. Just try to do Ezra and then straight into...
Just keep it in.
Yeah. I was on both shows, and I really miss New Brew Thursday sometimes.
A lot of people do.
Yeah, that was a really well done show.
Thanks. I like doing the show.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into what happened for the show to come to an end, but,
well, I think you could say how it ended, right?
Well, we stopped doing it.
Yeah. But I mean,
what?
Well, I mean, there has to be there has to be a reason that you would take such a good product that so many people in that particular industry and so many fans like me just appreciated and then just stop suddenly.
Yeah, there's a reason.
What is it?
No, it's my reason. Yeah. I left. I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah.
But you know, it was. I put a lot of work into that show. Yeah. It was. I'd come home from work on a Monday. I'd import everything, and this is you know 6 years ago. Before right. I mean, before we had fast computers, it took a little longer to get the show. You know, now that Final Cut Pro 10 is out,
yeah.
it saves so much time. It's amazing. But I was using Final Cut Express back then, and I'd come home. It was basically 5 to 6 hours Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to get the show done, and then it would release on Thursday. We had Friday usually that we recorded the show. Saturday and Sunday I'd have off, yeah. and then the routine would start again. So
it just wore on you?
Oh, well, yeah, it definitely did.
Yeah.
But I kept doing it just because I liked doing it, but there were certain days where it's like, oh, I don't want to do this right now. I get the same way with Four Brewers, and the show's only a year old, and it's audio, and it's way easier.
Yeah.
But with Four Brewers, I'm recording it, I'm editing it, I'm uploading it, I'm writing the blog post, I'm taking the photos, I'm promoting it, like, and... You know, of course, the other guys promote the show on social media and stuff.
Sure.
And they occasionally jump in and write blog posts when I don't want to.
This kind of speaks to your personality, though, right? It's kind of like owning it, right? So when we homebrew, I mean, it's your setup, it's your rig. So you're obviously, but you're owning the process. You're like, this is what we're doing. Stick to it. Let's get it done. With both podcasts, even though New Brew Thursday didn't start it and you came on after the fact, you still took control. You owned it. You created it. You produced it. Kind of had your stamp on it, and now you're doing that again with Four Brewers.
Well, New Brew Thursday was a pretty high quality show, right?
Yeah, it was amazing.
You think Four Brewers is a high quality show?
I do.
Well,
I know, but my point.
And the reason I do that is not that I'm opposed to other guys contributing.
Yeah.
Last week on the show, we're promoting our social media, yeah. our Instagram account. And I look at the other guys, I go, you guys have logins for these accounts. You can yeah. use them. And Jason goes, but why would I go on Instagram and fuck up our Instagram? Like account, like
right.
everything you do is perfect. I'll just let you do it. And so maybe I'm shooting myself in the foot by putting really good photos on there because I want it to look really pretty because they're not going to post anything.
Yeah.
And sometimes they do, you know, and I'm not, and I'm not saying they take crappy photos. I'm not saying anything. That's just what Jason said. I encourage anyone on my show to be involved in the social media stuff.
Right.
But when it comes to the actual product, yeah, I want it to sound good, and I'm very anal about it. Matt, he's been with me the longest at this point. He knows how anal I am about things, and sometimes it's just that's how it is. Whatever John wants, that's how it's going to be.
Okay.
And Steve was the same way because they knew
Steve from New Brew Thursday.
Yeah, because yeah. they knew that I wasn't going to put out something that sucked.
Yeah.
Because I want it. When I put a show out, I watch it, and I enjoy it. When I put an audio show out, I listen to it again the next day, even though I just edited it. Because
yeah.
if I edit your show right here, I'm going to listen to it the next day.
I
want to listen to what I did.
It's almost interesting because if you edit my show and you edit this show and my shows in the future, I'm almost worried you'll spend too much time getting it perfect because that's the kind of guy you are.
No, we'll do that right here. That way the file I get is already perfect.
Yeah, I like that. That's
then good. I just have to edit it.
Yeah, okay.
But no, maybe yeah. you could say I'm being a control freak about it.
I wouldn't say
that. Or you could say that I have a certain level of quality. I'm the same way at work. When I finish something at work, I literally take a step back and look at the machine room and go, man, this turned out nice. If I see conduit that doesn't line up with certain lines on the wall, if it's, you know, it might be perfectly level but it's not lining up with a line,
yeah,
it will bother the shit out of me and I'll fix it. Sometimes I'll rip a piece of conduit out and redo it just because I want it to look nice. I want people to walk in there and say, yep, John did this job, and not have anything bad to say. Just like with my podcast,
right?
What are you going to say? Yeah. If you have a problem with the content, that's one thing, but you can't say that the quality of the show is subpar.
No, and that's the guy I know you as. I think overall, as I've gotten to know you over the last couple of years, is a guy who really takes a lot of pride in every single thing he does, so does it right. So earlier you were talking about a big project you had to help your girlfriend set up for last night for her job.
Oh, yeah.
And even when you were talking about some of the challenges with it, I was thinking to myself, yeah, but that's John's way of doing it. Like, John's going to do it the right way. He's going to put all the extra effort in, even if he didn't expect to.
You're
just to
totally
make sure,
right, because I want to make sure when I turn those lights on, they're going to turn on. When people are dancing on that stage, that it's not going to fall apart.
Yeah.
And I take a step back and go, okay, this all looks very nice.
Yeah.
And that's, I did that yesterday too.
Do you think it's something that people don't do anymore? I think it's like a rare, like,
I think it's dwindling.
Yeah.
Like people more, yeah, even people, yeah, I've worked with in the past, like they work with me and you expect things to rub off on people.
Yeah.
And you know, you go to one of their jobs that they did by themselves now that they're no longer my apprentice. Yeah. And it's like, what is that? Why did you do that? Yeah. Like that, it's just, I don't know.
Let's jump into our three topics today. So we learned a little bit about John, and John and I worked on a couple of things to talk about today. And the first topic of today, topic number three, working down to number one, is music that makes you cry. This was your idea. And I get the sense that, yeah, when you sent me this, you might have been drinking.
Yeah, of course. Okay. I do a lot of stuff while I'm drinking.
Like what?
Send you emails about how I want to talk about things that make me cry.
Go ahead.
No. I don't know.
Things that make you cry, just, or just songs that make
you cry? We both like music. And so yeah, I was thinking, well, this is something that I didn't want to get into, like, the fine details and the minutiae of punk rock and little...
Does punk rock make you cry?
Whatever. Yeah, totally.
Really? Why?
Well, it depends on what you're listening to. Like, it's a song. Like, for example, we had the Neck Deep, the new pop punk band from the
UK.
You
keep sending me things. I'll never listen to it, but you
should. They're so good.
But that doesn't mean I'm going to listen to it.
Oh, man. What's a good example? Like, 4 Years Strong is more of a hardcore version. There's this, like, kind of hardcore-ish, pop punk-ish thing that's happening right now. It's no longer, like... lovely vocal melodies going along with pop punk music.
I'm so detached from all of that. I have no idea what you're talking about.
But I love pop punk so much.
But so these new bands are, they're kind of making me cry? I mean, that's just weird to me.
Well, it's the lyrics basically and the hooks. Yeah. I love hooky songs. The new Taylor Swift album, I fought it for months.
Peter's giving a thumbs
and
up.
And dude, I was like, you know what? Why am I being a dick to Taylor Swift? Like, she didn't do anything to me. Like, everyone seems to like her.
You really think you're being a dick to Taylor Swift?
Yeah, by talking shit about her and I've never even heard her music.
Well, I mean,
a dick.
Well, no, I don't disagree, but I guess the route I take is I've never heard her music. I don't think about her.
Well, you know, it's not there for me. She's everywhere. You can't miss her. And so it's like, I'm tired of seeing Taylor Swift. Oh, and this kind of happened because she wrote a letter to Apple, or she posted something on Tumblr to Apple. Yeah. About, you know, them not compensating artists during the 3-month free trial of Apple Music. And I went on and I was like, oh, yeah, Metallica gets pissed off because people are putting their music on Napster.
Oh, I remember that. On Facebook you put that.
Yeah. And, you know, I still stand by what I said.
Sure.
You know. But after that I was like, you know, I don't even listen to her music. Why am I saying anything about her at this point? No. Like, who the hell am I?
But so does Taylor Swift make you cry?
I mean, and, really? Like, there's... Wow. And her songs aren't... I mean, I can't relate to... the viewpoint of a 26-year-old, she's 26, right? Something like that, woman.
She's that young? It feels like I've been hearing about her since, like...
Well, she's been around for quite a while, since she was 16.
How did she become popular? I truly don't know.
In the country music scene, basically.
She wasn't on American Idol?
No.
Okay.
She basically hustled her way into the music industry. She, like, there's a lot of stories you hear. I'm not going to get into the Taylor Swift story, but she worked her way into the music industry, and I think she earned the spot she's in right now. Like, she's a huge pop star, and I got to respect that. At the same time, you know, I can't relate to a lot of her stuff.
Sure.
But there's some songs that, I mean, her music's supposed to be hooky. It's supposed to be catchy. It should have good lyrics.
Is it supposed to make you cry?
That's not supposed to make you cry.
Yeah, I think like some artists like Adele. Like, Adele makes music to make you cry. I think that's like the entire purpose. Like, that album she wrote about a breakup. I mean, that album was intended to make everyone feel the exact same level of pain she was.
And there's songs that intentionally want to do that to you. But sometimes it'll happen, and I'm not even like it's got nothing to do with anything sad.
What makes me cry generally is songs that are nostalgic for me. That's like this
that too.
Like new stuff, like new lyrics. I mean, unless I have some sort of, you know, intrinsic connection to it, you know, that I can't explain away, then, you know, maybe something like that would potentially trigger something. But for me, it's songs like Ooh La La by The Faces. Like, my mom loved Rod Stewart, and that song is all about, like, it's at the end of Rushmore, and, you know, it's about women, and it's just such a way of a young person kind of coming into their own, like processing how the opposite sex treats them, or, you know, whatever partner kind of partners they've chosen. And because it's about the kid's grandpa is talking to him about, like, don't trust women, and he wishes he would have listened to his grandpa and stuff. But it's
so
more,
why does that make you emotional?
I think it's the mom thing for sure.
I can totally see that because you're very close to your mom.
I was very close.
You know,
mom.
If anyone's been your friend on social media over the last couple years, it's very. And I'm not trying to. You know, it's evident because you're very public about it.
Pretty open about it. Yeah.
So, it's not necessarily that for me. Like that Neck Deep song.
Yeah.
It's about like that the chorus of that song is about like how there was this big there's issues in your life, and it was a mountain, and now you're like, you're just walking over that mountain.
Cause how do you relate to that?
I don't know. Like with me at work, for example, like I had a hard time for the first 10 years of my career, like trying to figure things out because my dad, his position in our union, I was discriminated against a lot. I worked for a lot of elevator companies early on. I've been at the company I'm at now for the longest, for probably 13, 14 years. Hmm. And it took a lot for me to overcome that, make my own name in my industry. And now that my dad's retired, it's kind of like now I'm on my own. Like I have no one to fall back on except for I'm involved in the union and people know that. But for me, it's a lot of stuff that makes me emotional is people talking about overcoming issues.
Yeah.
And I think I have issues with who I am. Yeah. I don't think I am the most interesting person. When I do podcasts, I put people around me that are interesting. Hmm. But I think I have very mild social anxiety issues. I'm not going to say I have anxiety because people that actually have it, that kind of discredits their anxiety, because I can totally get
situation. But hold on. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, I've come a long way over the last 15 years because I was very shy, if you want to say that in air quotes.
I could see that. Sometimes when you and I, like, I even felt it today when you come over and we haven't seen each other in a while, there's like a warming up period that has to happen with you.
I do that with everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. There's no one. I mean, even Yvonne, when she comes home from work, she's like, hey. I'm like, hey, let's.
Yeah,
let's
I need
just
like 5 minutes with you. That's why, like, we stood in my kitchen. I was eating breakfast because I just got done riding my bike. And I just was like, let's just talk, John, and just kind of get back to where we usually are. Then, you know, that was kind of like by design.
I would be a bad interviewer, I think. There's a certain kind of person you have to be to do something like that. And you're really good at it.
Well, I don't know. But,
no, you are. But you're a far, like, your job requires you, I think, does it not require you to be involved with people on a one-on-one basis more often than not?
It used to more than it does now. But I like talking to people. So I'm the person who, you know, yesterday we were standing out front and this woman walked by with her kid and had two dogs, and my kid saw the dogs and wanted to run out and talk to the dogs. And I ended up having an hour long conversation with her.
That's not me.
And we ended up, it turns out we work in the same field. We work for two different nonprofits that work together all the time. She lives around the corner. She remembered me from when I worked at Trader Joe's 10 years ago or whatever it was. I mean, it was kind of crazy, but stuff like that happens to me all the time.
I'll go to a union meeting and I'm well known.
Yeah.
Just because one, my name, because my dad has a really good name in our trade, but also because of current, like, stuff that's been happening over the last year.
Yeah.
I've been more upfront with things. And guys will come up to talk to me, and it's guys that I've talked to before, guys that I've worked with. Yeah. And it's just like, nope. I mean, I'll talk to them, but it's very hard. Hmm.
Does that trouble you?
I wish I could be more like outgoing and stuff like that.
So one thing I would say, and I'm not trying to play therapist, but one thing I would say is that you said earlier that you were cautious to talk about anxiety because you don't want to minimize other people's anxiety.
I think it's very mild what I have.
I think it's just
me being a little bit introverted, where there's people that get sick.
Right.
They want to like go home and lock themselves in a dark room. That's how bad it is. And
but
nowhere near where I'm at.
But I think it might be unhealthy or just counterproductive to like compare yourself to other people, regardless of how bad somebody else's issues may seem in comparison to yours. I mean, I think the one thing, and this
there's
is like
people that are far worse off in life than I am.
Well, of course,
and that's
but it's such an American trait for us to sit back and go, because I do this all the time, right? So my example always is, I sit back, and when I'm depressed, you know, and I get, look, I'm in therapy, right? So I get depressed. You know, I'm genetically predisposed to depression, and it's something I'm working through and stuff. And, you know, for me, sometimes I sit back, and Peter knows this. I've talked to him about it before, I think. It's a Friday or Saturday night. I'm depressed. I'm not feeling great about myself or about life or something. And I'll turn it on MSNBC, and Lockup will be on. And I'll say to myself, well, at least I'm not in prison. And it's such a fucked up perspective to have to have. You shouldn't have to do that. You should just deal with your own shit head on and not create comparables for yourself.
No, no, no. And I'm not doing that. I'm saying, well, at least I don't have social anxiety like people that really have it.
But that's
I'm
comparable. Saying, you're creating a comparable for yourself. Well, instead of just heading off with your stuff and dealing with it.
All I'm saying is I don't want to label myself as having that because that's not what it is. It's just...
That's what you don't think it is.
I'm pretty sure... No, I'm not going to get into details, but I think I know what's going on with certain people that might have it.
Okay.
And I don't want to make it seem like, yeah, I have that too. And they're like, fuck you. You don't have what I have.
Let me ask you a question. Can you imagine anything that would make you more anxious than being homeless on the streets of Boston? It's a weird question.
Yeah, I don't know.
So for topic.
I can't even fathom that.
Right. Climate change, or, you know, swinging climates based on the seasons, you know, it's kind of crazy considering we live in California. The reason I bring it up is topic number two today is actually going to be about a story that was making national headlines over the course of the week in regards to these two brothers from South Boston who assaulted a Hispanic or Latino. I don't think we've ever confirmed where he was from, but we know, I think we'd know he was an immigrant.
Why do I think he was a black guy?
No, it was a Latin American or Mexican or Mexican immigrant. I'm not sure. I've never seen where any details about the guy specifically, and I looked it up earlier but didn't really find much. But anyhow, they assaulted him, urinated on him. Two guys, the gentleman had some sort of device he was protecting himself with. I think it was a bat or a club or something, and one of the guys actually took it away from him, beat him with it. Like I said, urinated on him. And then when they were arrested, witnesses called the cops, and the cops came out. When they were arrested, they said that Donald Trump is right, that Donald Trump's theory on immigration and his ideas and his supposed policy, which we can argue about whether or not it's real or if he's just creating things up.
I really don't want to talk about Donald Trump.
Well, that's kind of my point of this whole thing, right? Is that the media took this angle of, and I know we're shifting gears from the personal to this, and
it's called a segue.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nothing. Nothing's funner than watching tours of people on Segways in front of the White House in Washington, D.C.
They do Segway tours?
Oh, it's amazing. 30, 40 people on Segways going
down. Don't you
have
to be licensed like in some way or trained, like forklift training for a Segway? Because I don't know how to drive a fucking Segway.
I think it's pretty straightforward.
I know you're supposed to lean and it's all body weight and all
There's
that.
There's a guy actually in the neighborhood here in Old Town Orange who I have seen for years, at least a decade, because I've been in my house for 15 years. I've seen this guy. He rides a Segway. He does it with his hands behind his back. He wears a giant floppy straw hat, and he always has a basket with a dog in it, and he All smiles. Right. And there was a time where I was an asshole, right? Well, I mean, you know. And
still are.
Well, I don't
high five. High five.
No, I'm not going to high five that. I'm not trying to.
We're all assholes.
Well, I don't think so, actually.
We're white people.
Well, that's an issue, but
we're assholes.
The Guatemalan in the room is shaking his head at us, Peter. Yeah. He's kind of stifling, holding back his laughter. But I used to like sneer at the guy a little bit and go, you know, what the fuck is this? Like, and now I kind of like, the dude's happy, man. And that's awesome, right? I mean, that's a step ahead of where I am.
I've caught myself doing the same thing, and I've done the same thing. I take a step back and go, what am I doing? Just like Taylor Swift. Why am I hating on Taylor Swift when I don't even know anything about this woman and anything about her music?
So getting back to these guys. So I agree. I don't really want to talk about Donald Trump. And I think that the media did a little bit too much. And it was kind of... And I'm a person who works in this business, right? Like, I work with the homeless, right? I work on all these projects across the county that are trying to, like, you know, end homelessness. Not trying to like end homelessness, but trying to do it. And I kind of found the way the media reported on this to be a little, and I'm an unabashed, you know, liberal, but I still kind of found it disgusting the way they were just linking these statements to bozos, to random dudes were yelling.
Well, it makes sense. Like, Donald Trump is all over the news because he's an asshole and he's saying things that the worst people in America are thinking.
Yeah.
And
the worst people in America. God, it's scary.
You know, it's true. Yeah. That kind of will lead me into another topic on this show.
Yeah.
But I mean, of course you're going to say, oh, it's because Donald Trump said that. That's why they did this. And no, these are two assholes. These are two pieces of shit that don't care about anyone but themselves.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, they were pissed off at this guy, or they were pissed off and they took it out on this guy.
Do you think this is a story that even makes the national media, if the Donald Trump factor?
I'm sure it happens all the time.
Yeah.
The fact that they said Donald Trump is right, and then when they got to their holding cells, I guess they were shouting things about whatever and making a scene, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, that's something that's interesting that you're going to report on because that's what the media does.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just because Donald Trump's name was mentioned, I think that was probably why it came about, because I'm sure there's many homeless people that are assaulted on a very regular basis that no one knows about and probably people don't care about it either.
Yeah. Well, there was a guy here, and Peter probably remember this because Peter used to work in the same business, but 4 or 5 years ago, check me give me the shake if you remember the story, but there was a guy, a kid, basically. I mean, he was a young adult. He was like 20 or 21. He'd come back from the military and started killing homeless people in Orange County. I don't know if you guys remember that story, but I know he killed one behind a Carl's Jr. and killed a couple in the riverbed. And, you know, eventually they caught him. And, you know, he gave some crazy hack-eyed excuse for why anyone would ever do anything so brutally vulgar. But
did that make it to the
media? I don't remember that getting any national attention.
Yeah, it's just a homeless guy. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, it was several homeless guys. It was serial
killing. Oh, well, yeah.
It was serial killing. But it's just...
A lot of people would say he's doing society a favor.
Oh, I don't... Really? You think people would go that far? Doing society a favor?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm naive, but...
I mean, not seeing homeless people, like, I don't care if you kill them or get them off the street or ship them off to an island. As long as I don't have to see them, you're doing me a favor. So if some random guy is going to take the heat for killing homeless guys, there's people that are assholes enough to be like, okay.
Yeah. I'll parse that out a little bit. I will say that there's definitely a large contingent of people, because I deal with them on a daily basis, who just would prefer not to see homeless people anywhere near them. And I mean, full disclosure, right? Like, you have to have those people, you have to let those people have that dialogue in order to actually be productive and find solutions for things, right?
It's okay to be uncomfortable around homeless people.
It's okay to be uncomfortable in every situation, as long as you're, I mean...
Don't be a dick about it, though.
Well...
Jesus, they're still people, you know?
I want to take that back, actually. I mean, I think there's some things that are a little too far to talk about, like levels of discomfort that are just unfounded, right? I think there's not a real... good reason for you to be seriously concerned about the homeless guy that's walking by your house on a daily basis on his way to go eat at the church. You know what I mean? But there are people who take that to an extreme that I don't even want to see that guy ever. My point is that I think there's a pretty big chasm between that and being okay with them dying. You know what I mean? I think there's, I think like that whole NIMBY thing, which I have to deal with all the time, right? Not in my backyard. Is a real thing, and it's palatable. You know, you can feel it when there's projects going on around homeless issues. But even those people, if you pulled them aside and said, hey, would you rather we just, you know, would you just be okay with them dying? I don't think most people would be okay with that.
I can't say whether or not they would be, but I mean, I'm just saying it goes along with that whole thing where out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
This guy was killing homeless people. Oh, that's not good.
Right, but then they turn the page and read about the sports section
I didn't know these homeless people.
Yeah, so I think it's an interesting commentary on the media, right? I mean, that's what this is about, is like the media's sensationalism of... And I know, like, look, Donald Trump's a lightning rod right now, right? But I almost want to, like, remove him from the conversation entirely or not place blame with him, even though I can't stand him and I'm not at all interested in him becoming our next president. But these were just two assholes. And... to me, the real story is that somebody had the, I don't know what the word is, if it's audacity or something, but actually took it upon themselves to assault somebody because they were sleeping on the street. I mean, your life's hard enough. And now you have to face these two brothers with long criminal history. I mean, who are they? I mean, these long jackets of different things that they've done in Boston. I mean, they were well known by the police for all.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, totally.
So it sounds to me like they were looking for a guy to beat up on, and they found this homeless guy and
coming back from a Red Sox game, probably, you know, who knows?
We don't want to go there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's lots of Red Sox fans who aren't dicks. But
I don't know. But I mean, it's that whole idea.
Just assume they're Red Sox.
Right. Well, no. But it's a whole idea of like, you know, imagine where the heads are at of two asshole brothers who would do this kind of thing when they're coming home from a sporting event, right? It's like, you know, tooled up and just kind of fired up and ready to do some stupid shit.
So. Yeah, it's definitely horrible. And I mean, the Donald Trump thing that's why they hyped it. Because if that wasn't part of it, it just would have been another dead homeless dude.
Which is sad, because the dead homeless part is the part that should be getting a lot of press all the time, I think, on things like this.
Yeah.
So next topic is, you wanted to relate something about Donald Trump back to your friends.
Yeah, I mean, it's... there's a couple friends that I've known for a long time, like, I don't know, over 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm not friends with them anymore. And the only reason I brought this up was there's people that you grow up with, and, you know, you're young, and you're all kind of on the same level. You don't really know much about society, the world, anything really. And then you kind of form your own viewpoints on things. And some of those people just go way off the deep end and turn into racists, bigots. What's a biggest?
Yeah, Biggie Smalls.
The biggest one of all.
The biggest one of all.
It's just really sad. There's a guy that on Facebook, I was friends with him on Facebook. I unfollowed his feed. I didn't unfriend him or anything. Because I didn't want to be like,
that's a weird thing about Facebook now.
That's a wonderful thing about Facebook.
It is, except I don't really give a shit if someone's concerned about me unfollowing or unfriending them. Like,
well, this person would be.
But why?
Because he's self-centered. And the world revolves around him. And if I unfriend him, what the fuck is your problem? Kind of thing.
I mean, I can relate a little bit. I mean, I did that blog post about validation, right? And so
I did not read that though.
Yeah. So there is something in there about, like, you know, if you or Peter or like one of my good friends unfollowed me on one of my social medias because you were tired of seeing, you know, photos of me cycling or something, I'd be kind of like, oh, that's sad.
Yeah. But you're not going to like go off the.
That might be the difference, is how you react to it, right?
Yeah.
Like how important to your ego is it actually if someone follows you back on social media?
So this person, I unfollowed them, and it was because
stayed friends.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to get into the details of my relationship, but I just unfollowed them, and I'd occasionally go back to see maybe if they've lightened up on their thing, like they're like very racist stuff. Like that
really?
Was that was the top one.
Like just overt racism.
Overt. And
really?
What set it off was, or what ended the whole Facebook relationship was when gay marriage was legalized by the Supreme Court.
Oh, good Lord.
And it was, yeah. But I'd go back and check things occasionally, and I'd say, God damn it, what is wrong with this guy? Like, how could he say things like this? And my girlfriend would just be like, why are you looking at that? Why don't you unfollow that piece of shit? Or unfriend that guy. And it's like, because he's my friend, like, at the end of the day, he's still my friend. She's like, you want friends like that? And it's like, no, it's not like that. That's not what I'm saying. I've known this guy for so long. How can I? It's just Facebook,
but
right?
It seems like
unfriending someone on Facebook now is like severing a relationship in a way.
Yeah. That's just a bad message about what we've come to. In
that's how it is. I'm going to own it. Fine. How it is.
Okay. So, but if that's true, but your girlfriend has a point, doesn't she? I mean,
why was I going back and looking at this stuff?
Well, no, not only that, but is this person really your friend now?
No, they're not.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, he was the one that unfriended me.
Right.
And it was over this gay marriage thing. And it was a comment that was made that was like, if I see anybody posting this stuff,
Jesus.
I will unfriend you. And I was just like,
okay,
so unfriend me. And
yeah.
He did.
I mean, principles are important, right? Principles matter, right?
You did me a favor. Like, now I don't have to worry. And then I blocked him, so I can't go back. And I don't know why I had this compulsion to go back and look and get angered by all this stuff that he would post. But I'm surrounded by people.
It's because he let you down.
I guess that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I thought we were friends. We didn't talk for a while, and then we started talking again, and you turned into this guy that I now despise people like you.
Yeah.
But maybe you're not like that. Maybe you're just putting on this show. Maybe I can change things if, I don't know, we interact and talk about things. But no, it doesn't want to talk about things. It's set on what he thinks is the right thing, which is the wrong thing. I'll say it. It's wrong. Racism is wrong.
Right. I think in 2015, you'll find very few people, whether they actually practice it or not, but you'll find very few people that will just say it's okay.
You know? This guy would say it's okay.
Would he? Is that kind of guy? Yeah.
Where you're seeing posts with the N-word and stuff and his friends that I'm friends with are saying the same stuff. And it's just, it's sad and scary. and disappointing.
Yeah.
And you're just like, damn it. Like, I wish you could, it's not see the light, but I wish you would just lighten up and accept other people. Like, you're just being so self-centered in your life.
And all of that sounds like you just, it sounds like letdown.
It's a huge letdown.
So maybe when you're going back to look at the stuff, you're hoping that there's some semblance of change.
That's what I said earlier. Yeah, like, it was like, well, maybe it's toned down. Maybe I can start falling. Oh, nope. There's that thing.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What the fuck is this? No. Right. Oh, shit. And then I get mad. And it's like, fuck this guy.
And then Intense John comes out, who's an intense guy anyway.
It does. And then Yvonne gets pissed because I'm mad. And she's like, you're mad at this guy that I never even liked. And I don't even know why you like him, because everyone else you hang out with is the complete opposite.
Right.
And she's right. I don't. But there was these few people that I kind of gave, you know, a pass to and said, okay, well, I've known them for a long time.
Kind of like your grandpa, like your racist grandpa. Like, what are you going to do about it, right? I mean, it's, hey, it's just who this person is, you know? And you just...
No, I mean, that's your family.
That's true. Yeah.
This is someone you can sever ties with.
That's true.
And it's not going to change anything.
Well, apparently it was complicated for you, though.
It was. Yeah. But I was, you know, I was in Boy Scouts with this guy. Like, it was, that's how long I've known him, you know, since what, 93?
How do you feel about it now?
Well, I still got to see the guy sometimes.
Really?
And that's kind of awkward, but I'm not turned off. I mean, it's not awkward enough to cause me to not want to. I'll still go to a place that he's going to be at, kind of thing, and I'll just deal with it. But he's totally the kind of guy that would clown on me for wearing the shoes I wear.
I like your shoes.
And I mean, I've been, they're awesome shoes, but it's,
For the listeners at home, they're Vans that are part checkerboard, part leopard, and not just checkerboard
with
pink checkerboard.
Yeah.
You're sitting next to a guy with shaved legs. So, I mean,
I didn't even notice. Isn't that a bike thing?
It's a cycling thing.
Yeah. Then that's okay.
Yeah. Thank you. it wouldn't be okay if I had.
Right. I was waiting for you to say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know.
I get it though. I mean, I've had friends come and go. That's the one thing I've determined.
But when they go that way, it sucks. Like,
that's the thing though, is that
how did I end up the way I ended up? And I mean, I can kind of see things with his family that would cause him to go in that direction.
Yeah.
But it's like, we were friends, and like, I was always pretty cool, like towards everyone. And
yeah.
You kind of weren't, and so you'd think things would rub off. And how come his racism didn't rub off on me?
I mean, you should just be grateful it didn't.
Yeah, but it's just like you would. And how come I didn't rub off on him? It's just weird how it's like.
But
this.
That's not how we work, man. That's not like. I mean, there's lots of things about lots of my friends that I will not relate to and not be able to become or morph into just because we spend a lot of time together. What happens is. You said it earlier. You talked about how over the last 10 years, you felt like you got smarter, you got more educated on issues, you became more aware, which is kind of actually the more meta thing I was hearing, is that you just became more aware as a person, which is a good thing. That's what we should all be striving to do, I kind of think. But, you know, some people don't evolve in that way. And so it's a letdown, sure, but it's also just symptomatic of the fact that you've known somebody for 22 years or whatever. And in that time, you went from being 14 to 36, man. So, I mean, your expectation that someone is going to, you know...
Turn into a decent human being?
Well, I'm not going to question the person's decency, because, like, Well, I don't know him. So, I mean, based on what you're saying, though, it's not someone I want to spend any time with. That's
Hell no.
Yeah, right. So, and that's exactly my point, is there's a lot... Look, I'm friends with a bunch of people from high school on Facebook, right? And it runs the gamut. Some people...
zero people from high school.
Right. Well, it's about 7 or 8 people, and I talk to none of them. Except maybe one, but it runs the gamut in terms of what people have become and what their values and issues are. And it's when I was 14 and we were playing pickup hockey in a parking lot, everything was cool, man. We were in high school. None of this shit really mattered. Even if you had opinions about stuff, it didn't really make a difference when you were that age, right? None of us were, you know, activists.
You've got other things to do, yeah.
Right. I mean, there's just, I'm worried about the fact that no girls will talk to me. Right. That's been, for me personally, that was my big issue. Right. I mean, like girls, I did not have a girlfriend until I met my wife. Right. So I was like 19. That was the shit that David was concerned about, you know, and that's what most people are concerned about, right? And like where I went to high school, it was, you know, what, you know, when is mom and dad going to buy my Camaro, right? And for me, it was, you know, when's mom going to pay the rent, you know? So it was, there's all this other shit that's going on, and you don't really see people for who they are. We don't have the tools to do at that age. You don't have the tools to like really analyze someone and figure out if they're going to be a lifetime friend. So for me, I just came to the conclusion a few years ago that people are going to change over time, right? And you're going to change over time most of all, and you're only going to really know yourself at some point, and then it's just going to be a matter of picking and choosing. Right?
But those people have to know that their viewpoints are not maybe they think they're being radical or conservative, quote unquote. But you got to know you're being a bad person. Like, you're just being a total.
I don't think he does. I don't think people do. I mean,
I think they do.
They believe in that stuff, man. They believe in that stuff faithfully. That's who they are. I mean, a lot of times that's who.
But some people
is
just want to squawk about things and say, "Yeah, fuck this because of this." That's like, look at Donald Trump.
Yeah,
that's what he's doing.
But he's applying for a job, right? Oh. So he's saying
he's looking for attention and he's getting it.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is he is saying whatever he has to say in order to get the thing he wants to get, which is the Republican nomination, right? So if he keeps rolling at this level, which is way above any of the other candidates, right, he'll say whatever they want to hear. I mean, that's what your friend, and maybe your friend is saying things that are bombastic, your ex-friend is saying things that are bombastic and inciting anger in you. But the truth is, he's not talking to you.
He's saying things that his friends want to see.
Exactly. He's talking to the people that he relates to now. He's not talking to the John he related to in 1995 or 3 or even in 2005. He's talking to the people he's relating to in 2015. And that's my point, is that people, their attitude. I'm more liberal now than I've ever been, by far. And I know for some of my former friends, that just does not fly, period. And their conservatism, well, I don't have a problem. I have plenty of friends that are conservative. If it's going to be, in a way, if I could liken it to your ex-friend, if it's going to be in that kind of way, I'm not going to tolerate that stuff in my life. Where, when I was in high school, people threw around those words all the time, and I just kind of shrugged and went, well, those are, that's the way my friends talk. And that's bad on me. Even at that age, I should have known better.
Yeah.
But again, I was worried about other shit. I was worried about acne.
Yeah.
I was worried about the fact that I spend every lunch day in the library. You're 36 now, right? I'm 39. We just don't have time for that stuff. And if that's the way people kind of evolve and our friendships like matriculate into this part of our life, right, because you're basically middle age where I am almost, then you got to cut bait sometimes, and you can't feel bad about it. It's just the way things go.
Yeah, I don't feel bad about any,
but it hurts.
I wouldn't even say it hurts. It's just disappointing.
Disappointment is hurt, man.
Well, I'm not like, oh god, I missed, like, no, right, it's just right. Like I don't understand how people can be the way they are, to that extreme.
It's not for us to understand.
And I know there's certain things that,
it's not for us to understand, though.
Born into your DNA almost, sure. And you can't overcome it. But, when you've got someone like me saying, hey, this is how you should be looking at things. Right. Like, why are you being like this? Fuck you.
But and then the other piece of that we always have to remember, I think, is that we have to be respectful of the fact that other people have opinions that we don't agree with, right?
It's a bullshit opinion, though.
But again,
I'm talking on the most extreme levels,
right,
of things.
This is like
these extreme racist viewpoints are bullshit.
No, I agree. I totally agree.
And the people that are being racist know that they're being fucking racist, and that's what makes it bullshit. It's like, yes, I am being racist.
But they believe in it lockstep, wholeheartedly.
But they know that it's wrong.
I don't think so.
Yes. Well, I'm not going to say everyone. This person, I think, knows it's wrong.
And that's you, and I think that's John remembering how this person was at a different time in their life.
Yeah, but
I'm trying to relate it to now. And
for knowing this person for such a long time, I know what's going on.
All right.
So, I mean, it was a weird topic to get into. And I don't see it with a whole lot of my former friends, people I don't talk to anymore. There's people that I haven't talked to in a while where I'll see their feed, or they'll friend me after not talking to me for the last 10 years, and I'll check it out, and it's like, yeah.
Right. I mean, that's happened to me a lot, too. Yeah.
I'm not going to pay attention to you. Not that I'm, like, judging them or anything, but it's sure. Like, I don't need that negativity in
my life. Well, it's like there's a lot of people who are really into sports, like team sports, that I used to, be friends with and stuff like that. And I have zero interest. I don't care about football. I don't care about team sports in general.
I wish I did. It seems like a lot of fun. Like, why are you so into cycling? That's because you think it's fun. I wish I was into something as like something like that.
See the difference.
At least you'll watch those races.
Yeah,
I've watched them for 10 seconds, and I'm like, what the heck? No.
But
you have a genuine interest in it, and cycling, that's why I'm like, I wish I was interested in something like that.
Cycling is a participatory thing, right? So I don't just watch races; I actually go and do it, right? So I'm not replicating. I'm not a racer. Like, I race cyclocross, but I'm not a professional cyclist, right? But my going out and getting on the bike holds the same level of value and entertainment and interest for me that watching it does on TV, and the two relate to each other. Guys who watch football can't go out and just go and get all their friends together and go to a big grassy field and have a full game of football.
It seems like they're having a lot of fun watching it.
I guess.
Where with me, and maybe that's it's not like they're at home having fun alone.
Yeah.
They're having fun with their friends, and you know, it's following the whole thing and being involved in the nitty gritty of the details of whatever team they're into.
Yeah. Why do you want to be a part of that though?
It's just, I don't know. It's a thing that seems like it could be really fun, and it's just, I have zero interest in it.
Well, I think you should hold on to that though. It's just
like beer. Like, I am really into beer, and people that aren't are like, what is your, like, okay, you can be into beer. That's fine.
But I think you should hold on to that whole, I don't have interest in it thing, and work from that paradigm instead of the paradigm of, oh, that looks really fun, I wish I could participate in it. Because,
well, it's just,
like, are you as a person? It should dictate, like, which direction you go.
Well, I mean,
I don't give a shit that I don't go on Sunday morning to some place and watch football with a bunch of people and eat brunch. Like,
but
I just
everywhere.
Don't
care. And, like, it's
do you feel pressure to be involved?
No, it's just that it seems like something that's so easy to be involved with, but I have zero interest in it. I don't have to find a little niche of the internet that's into baseball, because the whole internet's involved, like, into baseball. And I'm not, and it just, and I'm not judging myself. I'm just saying, I really wish I found an interest in this stuff, because it seems like a lot of fun.
You know, I cannot stand golf. You and I have talked about this. I cannot stand golf. I think golf, like, and I'm talking about the activity, right? I think golf is just horrible. I mean, I think I've done it before. I did it a little bit like in the 90s or something, or, you know, when I was a kid. I think it's awful. But the one thing I always think is, man, people really love it, and they really have so much fun doing it, and they're willing to spend a ton of money to walk around for 6 hours and hit a ball.
I agree. It's bullshit. It's dumb.
I don't want to say it's bullshit. I applaud that. Applaud's not probably the right word. I appreciate the fact that they love it so much.
Oh, I'm the same way with sports, though. Right. It's still bullshit. Yeah. Just like I think baseball's bullshit, football's bullshit. But I'll watch the Super Bowl. For some reason, I'm serious. When I was building my brew stand, I had the
Super
Bowl on.
It's just the story
on.
Of so many people.
That's when that's when Madonna was the performer.
It's just the story of so many people. All right, we're going to wrap it up. But, John, I want to give you a chance to, first of all, I want to thank you for coming on the first episode and helping.
I hope I wasn't
today.
Too awkward.
No, I don't think you were awkward
were
at
my
all.
Drunken topics okay?
No, they were fantastic. Okay, I mean, I had to mix them up a little bit and add in the homeless thing.
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah. No, why don't you tell us where we can find you on the information superhighway?
My podcast is called Four Brewers. Our website's fourbrewers.com. You can find our show anywhere, iTunes, Stitcher, any podcast aggregator. You just search for us. We'll be there. My personal Twitter account is my name at John Holzer, H-O-L-Z-E-R. And, that's pretty much it, I think.
All right. And again, you can find the show 3 and 2 and 1 at 3-2-1 podcast on Twitter and Instagram, or you can follow me, David, at DG After Dark on both Twitter and Instagram, and the blog livingminimal.com, where the show will be posted. Thanks again, John. I appreciate you being here.
You also have a 321p.co, right?
Yeah, but it automatically redirects to livingminimal.com.
So, but that's also an option if you want to.
You can go to.
I helped you pick out that domain.
You did. And I have like
and
five
I was
or
drunk
six
that night
you
too.
You were drunk that night too. And you were yelling at me saying, if you don't buy this domain right now,
I'm going to buy it. It's such an easy, like, 321p.co.
Yeah, okay, you can do that, but it's just going to take you to livingminimal.com. So I want to thank my dog Ezra for chewing on bones at my feet during the entire show. I love him so much.
Dog's passed
and,
out.
Is he? Yeah, it's a little warm in here. And I want to thank the Wild Parrots of Orange, because we appreciate them.
I thank
them.
Peter for the producer.
Yeah.
Aspect.
Thanks for hanging around, Peter. The intro music was by the Beastie Boys, and you know the outro music. It's the song that always makes me cry. It's Oh La La by the Faces. Until next time, 3, 2, 1, blast off. Thank you.
Poor old Granddad, I laughed at all his words. I thought he was a bitter man. He spoke of women's ways. The trap you